So Psalm 64, the psalmist is amazed at how corrupt are the hearts of the wicked. He's confident, however, that crime doesn't pay. That seems to me to be the theme. Check it out for yourself. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my complaint. Preserve my life from the dread enemy. The word complaint there is sich in Hebrew, and I've just noted it occurs 19 times. It's a lament. It's a literary form, really. And complaint, lamentation. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the scheming of evildoers, for they whet their tongues like swords and aim cutting words like arrows. As they ambush the innocent and shoot. They shoot suddenly and without fear. They hold fast to their evil purposes. They talk of laying hidden snares, thinking, who can see us? Who can search out our crimes? We fought out a cunningly conceived plot. And the comment of the psalmist is, in the secret recesses of the heart, they are corrupt. Jeremiah, a little comment from Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, says about the heart, the heart is devious above all else. It's perverse. Who can understand it? That's why we have to be, you know, there's other parts, beautiful parts of the scriptures that say, look, listen to your own heart. It's better than seven watchmen on a city wall. Your own heart is actually your best guide, too. But it is devious, too. So when you get into this whole area of conscience, of course, you have to be so careful that conscience isn't just what I think I should do. That's totally self-centered and it could be utterly ignorant and very self-destructive. The conscience is a mind that is attuned to God and listening at depth. And when you listen at depth, and God comes through other people as well, it's not just a private little thing that I can have God tucked in here, but it's a complex process. Discernment of spirits, as Ignatian term for it, is necessarily not at all a simple process. And what he says, I think, is the best advice you can get on it. Discernment of spirits is only possible when you get to a point of equilibrium between doing and not doing, saying yes and saying no. That's the hard part, because we've got our own persuasions, our own preferences, our own way of looking at it. There's a whole lot going one direction. So you can't have discernment of spirits till you've come to a peaceful place where you're equally ready to say, I'll go to the missions or I'll work in a school as whatever God wants. I'm equally ready to say, I'll stay with my wife or husband or I'll leave my wife or husband, you know, because I'm not such, you know, in very self-destructive situations. And you have to. So that's not easy to get that equilibrium. I'll go out on my own or I'll stay at home, all those things. Getting to that stage, we need help often to get there, but when you get there, you know you're there. And when you're equally ready to do this or that, depending on God's will, then, say the wise people, then you follow your heart. You don't then follow the advice given by someone out there. Then you follow your heart, because your heart is made for God and wants deepest, because your heart is now really there, ready. Otherwise, it's just your presenting ego that's dominating. So here it is. The heart is corrupt. It's also beautiful. It's corrupted. That's original sin, isn't it? The sin of our origins is all in there. So the heart is a complex little thing. But God shoots his arrows at them. Suddenly, unexpectedly, they're wounded. Because of their tongue, he brings them to ruin. All who seek them shake their heads in horror. Notice again the importance of truth. Because of their tongue, he brings them to ruin. Some people like to receive communion on the tongue, and of course you may do it. But if you think receiving communion on the tongue is more reverent than on the hand, you might like to read a few psalms. There's nothing particularly reverent about receiving on the tongue rather than the hand. I'm not trying to persuade you either way. You are free. But in all these free areas, I actually think myself, it's much better to do what everyone else is doing. It's simpler. If everyone comes to communion and they don't genuflect, I think it's not good to genuflect, because all you're doing is drawing attention to yourself, not to Jesus, besides tripping the person who's just behind you. So, you know, but I don't want to be, I'm not trying to say anything. Be free and be very reverent of other people's preferences, as I hope I am, but don't trick yourself. Normally doing what everyone is doing is a simpler way to approach things, and reverence is in the heart in here. So, but here you are, I'm just drawing your attention to verse 8. He brings them to ruin because of their tongue. All who seek him shake their heads in horror. Everyone's afraid. They will speak of what God has brought about and ponder what God has done. The just rejoice in Yahweh and take refuge in him. All the upright in heart praise him. Very simple psalm, but that's Psalm 64.